I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Pew Research Center's poll of partisanship in the 2016 presidential campaign found that most Republicans and Democrats didn't just disagree with each other, they viewed each other with fear and anger. And it feels like that divide only deepened in 2017, exacerbated by a number of things, including the media, gerrymandering, incendiary comments by President Trump, and the bad blood between the two parties. Our guest Joe Huffle says there is actually public consensus on key issues. He's a Democrat who served in the U.S. House and has a new book. It's called Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump. Joe Watkins is a Republican who worked in the Bush 1 White House. He says we need to treat each other better in these polarized and gridlocked times. His book is titled The New PC, Practical Consideration. Both men have spent several decades working in and around politics, and they join us here in our Philadelphia studio. Joe Huffle, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. It's a pleasure.
Nice to have you with us. And Joe Watkins, nice to have you back with us
as
well. Great
to be back with you. Thanks, Marty.
Well, let's begin with where we are today. And we wanted the two of you together because, frankly, you've worked in and around politics for so many years, 40 years for you, Joe. I think for you, Joe Watkins, 30 years or so. Have you ever seen such partisanship, Joe Watkins? Excuse me, Joe Huffle?
No, never.
I got to get my Joes straightened up
here. We will work it out.
Yes.
No, it's the divisiveness and the negativity. I've never seen anything like it. Our political system seems broken.
Like broken, just broken in that it cannot deal with the problems that face us?
Well, the voters are angry, and there's some reason to be angry because of economic stagnation and income inequality and the rest. But the 24-hour news cycle, the cable news whipping up kind of extreme views, that's exacerbated, I think, everybody's sense of being on one team or the other. And what we need are political leaders that bring us together. And one of my big criticisms of the president is he is divisive. He's not trying to bring people together. He seems to want to divide people to stoke his base, and that's not good for our democracy.
How do you see our political environment today, Joe Watkins?
Well,
we got two Joes here, yes.
Well, clearly we're just so polarized, and that's what really caused me to write the book. I think that how we treat each other matters in both politics and our daily lives, and everybody matters. And so I've just taken the tack that we've got to do better, and we've got to work harder to communicate with each other and not see each other as the enemy. And that Joe Huffle made a great point. There's some polarization because of the economic times. On the one hand, the stock market is getting better, and we see the rate of unemployment at about 4.1%. But what I also point out in my book is that the labor force participation rate is about 62-63%, as it has been for a while, which means that 37% or so of people who can participate in the labor market are not, for whatever reason. And likewise, the number of the U6 number, the number of people working part-time for economic reasons, the number of underemployed people, numbers in the millions. So you've got lots of people who are counted as working people, but they're angry because they aren't making the income they used to make. They don't have benefits in some cases, and they can't pass on to their kids the American dream that so many of us grew up believing was there for everybody. And so that's some of the reason for it. And I in my book, I talk about how we solve it, how we, both politically and also as human beings.
And I do want to pick up on both those things. Joe Huffle, let me go back to you. Your book is about what you call the progressive center. To be a member or to believe in the progressive center, what do you believe in?
Well, first, as a progressive, you believe that there's a robust role for government in our society to level the playing field, to create a strong safety net, to provide for the least, the last, and the lost among us, and to create opportunity for everybody. And you're willing to use government to do that. But we also have to move to the center, the broad center of our political arena, where you seek consensus. You don't seek to divide and conquer. And you're willing to give up rigid ideology or partisan extremism in order to get something done. So we need a combination of those two things.
Well, you talk about things like Medicare for All, believing that part of this progressive center is that probably most people, given the option, would probably sign on to Medicare for All.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Medicare for All will cost money. There's no question. To get everybody covered with proper health insurance is an expensive proposition, but it's something our country ought to do. Medicare works well for seniors. It really is the best answer in the long run for everyone in terms of increased efficiency and better coverage. Of course, it's caught up in great political disputes right now.
Yes, it is.
Obamacare is far more popular among the people than the Republicans give it credit for, but they still want to dismantle it and abolish it. President Trump is still tweeting about it. So in the short run, I'm pessimistic about finding that center, but in the long run, that's what we have to be working for.
Well, Joe Watkins, let me ask you, I want to hear from both of you about CHIP, and this is a insurance program for children. These are the children of what I consider to be probably working parents because they make too much money
to get
Medicaid, but they don't make enough to really afford health insurance for their children. It had bipartisan support when it was agreed to. It has been basically strangled to death since Congress did not give money for it to go forward.
And I argue that Congress should have done that.
Absolutely.
And especially if you have a majority Republican Congress, they should have just done the right thing, which would have been to...
But they didn't do the right thing.
They did not.
So didn't they do that?
Well, part of it, I say, is because of the fact that we've got... not everybody, but there are too many, even if it's a few members of Congress that are thinking about themselves. They're more interested in self-interest than public interest and public service. And so the problem becomes is that people, in order to gain traction in their caucus, in order to maybe build their following, will not do the right thing because they're thinking about their forward movement and their political career, which they want to be long. They want to be lengthy. They maybe want to be governor. Maybe they want to be president of the United States one day themselves. And my whole thing is we ought to have citizen legislators again, like the founding fathers talked about, where people leave their whatever their calling is in life. They spend a few years in Washington, like Joe Huffle did, helping the people in their district, doing the best they can to move the country forward and to help represent the people of their district, and then come back home and do whatever else it is that you're supposed to be doing. But you don't have to stay in Washington forever.
Where it becomes a career, you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. So we don't need career politicians as such. And I'm not saying that there has to be a set number of terms that somebody does or doesn't serve, because ultimately the voters they're the ultimate term limiters. But it would be great if there were more members of Congress who stepped forward and said, you know what, I'm going to serve 3 terms or 4 terms in Congress, and then I'm going to go back to doing what I do.
Well, I'm wondering too about DACA, about CHIP, but I'm also thinking about DACA. And part of the progressive center, Joe Huffle, I'm assuming, is people thinking that if you were brought here by your parents who were not legal Americans with citizenship, that if you meet the criteria, you should become a citizen. And yet we cannot figure out how to pass DACA.
I think that's one of the top issues facing Congress this month. And I agree with President Obama, who created that program and identified the Dreamers as a group of people, of young people that we should honor and give citizenship to and allow them to stay here and flourish. It's just one more example, along with CHIP, of very valuable and really moderate proposals, middle-of-the-road proposals, that can't get traction because the politicians are too anxious to fight last year's battle or nurse last month's grievance or whatever it may be. The voters have a stake here. The voters have a role here. The voters
they
have
do.
To stop rewarding extremism in both parties. And they have to vote for people willing to compromise. That's part of the
Absolutely.
Equation.
Because what? There's a kind of a purity standard?
Well, I think so. People are just so mad. And again, I understand why people are mad. But they've got to demand more of politicians. And we need better politicians.
People have to do what's right. I mean, think, Marty, about what happened in Alabama.
I just scribbled Alabama on my notes here.
And I think that voters in Alabama did the right thing. I mean, there were a lot of course, African-American voters showed up in big numbers to vote for Doug Jones.
Women
did, and young people did also. But there were Republicans who said, you know what, I can't vote for more. And I'm going to vote for Doug Jones because it's the right thing to do. And we need for Americans to think that way, which is, you know, what's the best thing for America going forward? Who's the best candidate for America going forward? Who's going to get it done? Who's going to move us forward as a country?
And, but that's an extreme example, it seems, because of Roy Moore's legacy, background, actions, and all of that.
But I agree with Joe Huffle that there's a responsibility for us as voters. I talk in my book about the fact that, you know, we talk about voters, and we say we have a good turnout. If we have a 60% turnout, as we did in 2008, that's a great turnout. Or a 60% turnout in 2016, that's a great turnout. Well, the 60% is a D, you know, in school, which is not acceptable in anybody's sight. We've just got to do better.
You agree with that, Joe?
Oh,
Huffle?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Watkins is right.
So what do we do about that? I mean, on the one hand, what you hear from Democrats is that Republicans have put roadblocks. They've created voter ID laws, which has made it harder for certain people to vote. Do we make it too hard to vote?
Well, we do. And yes, I'd like to see reform there in a number of ways. I think the biggest political reform, though, would be to stop gerrymandering. And the courts are in a position now that they can do that. I certainly hope they do. The Supreme Court through the years has set forth standards about how to properly reapportion districts, but they haven't enforced those standards except for one person, one vote, and that districts have to be contiguous. You can't have islands out there that don't touch
the rest of the
district.
But you do get crazy-looking things like you would have in Pennsylvania.
They've said that you should have compact districts, but they've never thrown out a plan that was non-compact. They've said you need to keep communities of interest together, but they've never thrown out a plan for violating that. Now they may be poised to do that, and it would be a great thing for American democracy, so that we'd have more competitive congressional districts where both parties have a shot and the moderates would be in the majority.
Joe Watkins, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, Joe Huffle makes great sense here. And in a perfect world, there would be no gerrymandering. It would just be a fair process the way it's supposed to be so that people could be fairly represented. So I agree with what Joe's saying.
But how do you get the people in power and Republicans control the legislature in Pennsylvania? How do you get them to give up control?
I'm suggesting pledges. You know, just this is a new year. People can make a pledge that they're going to do better. I mean, my book is a call to do better. You know, let's listen to the better angels of our nature and do the right thing. And so, if you're an elected official, you can make a pledge in 2018 that going forward, these are the things that you're not going to do. These are things that you are going to do. And one of them, would ideally be to not gerrymander if you're in a state legislature in the majority party.
What if you lose your job because of that? You get ungerrymandered out.
Well, you did the right thing then, because America ought to be about doing the right thing, and that's what my book contends. Let's just do the right thing. Even if it costs you your seat, do the right thing. If you have to take a vote, and the vote is in the best interest of your constituents and the best interest of America, be willing to lose that seat because it's the right thing to do. Not because don't hold on to your seat and say I'm going to do what's expedient, but what will hurt America going forward. Do the right thing.
Do the right thing. Let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation with the two Joes. That's Joe Watkins. He's a political commentator, regular on MSNBC, served in the Bush 1 White House, and he's got a new book called The New PC, Practical Consideration. Joe Huffle served in the U.S. Congress representing Pennsylvania's 13th District. He's got a new book, Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump. 1-888-477-9499. The number to join our conversation. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with Joe Huffle and Joe Watkins about how to do the right thing and how to get along with each other in these politicized, partisan, and gridlocked times. You can join us by sending us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. Mike sent us an email. A broken dish can be stuck back together, but it can never become unbroken again. The legacy of Trump. Do you see your book is titled, Joe Huffle, Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump. How much do you blame him for the problems we're in today?
Quite a lot. I am no fan of the president. There are two things I really hold against him. It's not that he's a Republican or a conservative or anything like that. The first is he constantly attacks our institutions of democracy. He calls the media enemies of the state. He attacks the CIA and the Justice Department and the FBI. And this is not good in a democracy. And secondly, I don't think the truth is in the man. He seems to lie about everything. The Washington Post says he lies 5 to 6 times a day
in public. And they apparently counted.
I'm not talking about what he says to Melania. In public, 5 to 6 times a day. Now, Joe Watkins, you got to work hard to lie that much in public. So my point is that that's bad for democracy. So he's continuing to be divisive. He's not bringing the country together.
How do you see him? Our president, Joe Watkins.
Well, yeah, my daughter and I have had the pleasure of working for American presidents in the White House. And my wife, my better half, by far, by the way, has had the pleasure of being an appointee of 2 U.S. presidents, both named Bush. And I worked in the White House for George H.W. Bush. And what I absolutely adore about him as a human being is that he really did, as Lincoln said. I mean, he really did try to call us to the better angels of our nature. He talked about a kinder, gentler nation, and he embodied that not only in his public life but in his personal life. So I got to see him behind the scenes at the White House with people and with people who didn't have titles and didn't have a high position in life. He treated everybody the same way, with the same kind of respect, the same kind of love, the same kind of concern. The same kind of consideration. And that's what I'd like to see going forward. I mean, we've got some terrible examples of what it means to fracture, to divide people. I'd like to see, and this is why I'm writing this book, why I've written this book, I'd like to see people come together. I'd like mm-hmm. to see us even grow past our differences to see what we can do together to fix our problems. And some of it calls on not necessarily beating up folks. There have been some bad actors in the past, people who have not done a lot to unite us. But that being said, we've got to look forward and not so much beat up the folks that have been bad actors, but really talk how we can work together and move forward. I give the example in the book about Nelson Mandela and what a South African woman, a white South African woman, wrote about him, which she said, you know, who among us would have had the generosity of spirit to not settle scores after 27 years of cruelty in prison, but instead would forgive his enemies? And we've got to have that kind of forgiveness in order to move forward.
Who's that person? Who's our Nelson Mandela, to use your words there, Joe Watkins?
Well, I'm hoping that we will all adopt the attitude of Nelson Mandela.
That we'll be more generous
and forgiving.
Forgiving.
Yes.
That's hard to do.
Very hard.
It is hard to do. And in government, the president sets the tone. And for these difficult issues Congress faces, they need presidential leadership to get beyond the hyper-partisanship. And it just doesn't seem to be there. I'm not optimistic for 2018. I'm optimistic long term. I think our better days are ahead of us for this country. And I love what Joe says, Joe Watkins, about doing the right thing and taking personal responsibility. But the government needs a president that will bring people together, give some cover to the Congress. For example, the tax cut that just passed. Well. If it was revenue neutral, okay, and they want to help business, and it's all right, I could live with that. But it's not revenue neutral. It's going to make the deficit much worse.
$1.5 trillion,
yeah.
We're told.
And this is a serious problem. And
they didn't have any hearings.
No.
No Democrat input. No chance for any kind of bipartisan work to make it a bill that everybody could be happy with.
Joe, you're saying it better than I could.
This was sold as a middle class tax plan,
which is another lie. I mean, it just absolutely isn't. So what is actually needed is some spending reductions and some revenue increases. But this bill, of course, cuts revenue, going exactly in the wrong direction. And I thought that getting agreement on fiscal responsibility would be possible. There'd be enough people in both parties that understand our big debts are bad news. But without presidential leadership in the short run, I don't think we're going to see much progress.
Let me read from the conclusion of your book, Joe Huffle. You say, unless he mends his ways, Donald Trump will fail as president of the United States. This is obviously getting ahead of yourself, but why do you say that?
Well, because he's divisive, because he's not bringing people together. He's got a nasty streak. He's not building his base. His poll numbers are terrible. George Bush, George W., proved that you could have half the country really dislike you but still get reelected because the other half liked him. Well, it's one-third, two-thirds dislike for Donald Trump, and he doesn't seem to care. Mm-hmm. He's willing to continue to divide and attack criticize our institutions of democracy. And I think if he doesn't change all that, he's going to be in deep trouble. And the Republicans that are enabling him in Congress, I think they're going to get swept out.
Well, I'll be curious what you say to that, Joe Watkins, as a Republican yourself, whether you see enablers in Congress and whether you think the president is bad for your party. Harmful.
Yeah, I would put it this way. I would be so happy to see a president that brings us together and that brings Democrats and Republicans into the same room to
Doesn't
talk together.
Doesn't seem like this is the guy.
Not yet. And to work together to get things done.
Possible? I mean, do you think that he's willing to change his ways, be a different person?
Time will tell. I think it right now, given past performance, that's not likely. But that being said, time will tell. I know that the president has a great interest in winning, and so his interest in winning may cause him to bring people together. We maybe talk about infrastructure. There's certainly immigration in the coming year. He might be able to bring Democrats and Republicans together in a way that didn't happen for tax mm-hmm. reform that might be more acceptable. But we need that kind of bipartisanship. Joe Huffle is right. There has to be Democrat input and Republican input in order to move the country forward.
Well, it's interesting. We've got a Republican and a Democrat sitting next to each other here. Largely, there is some disagreement, but largely agreeing on issues and the kind of climate that we're in. Neither of you are in elective office. You were Joe Huffle for a while. What does that tell us?
Well, maybe with some age comes some wisdom. I'm the old guy, not Joe Watkins.
You're nice.
And
I've been around too long.
being out of the day-to-day tussle of politics, it's easier to take the longer view. But Joe's right. We do need to appeal to people to do a better job. That's for sure. I mean, clearly we need our president to succeed. I mean, I'm not sitting here being all happy that Donald Trump's having problems. It's not good for the country. The one thing we don't know about Trump is whether he can keep his word when he does a deal, mainly because he hasn't done any deals. But if he can keep his word and cut some bipartisan deals, that would be very good for the country. And hopefully he'll reach those agreements. Joe identified infrastructure, immigration. I think CHIP, we talked about, it's another area. Yeah. I mean, everybody seems to want it. So if Trump can keep his word, maybe we can move forward.
That's Joe Huffle. His new book is Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump. Joe Watkins with us as well. His new book is The New PC, Practical Consideration. You can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Ed from Lansdale to join us. Ed, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. Thanks. And I'm out of Huffle's territory. And not necessarily partisan. I had good results from his predecessor, Mr. Representative Coughlin. Anyway, the thing is, if you want to understand Trump, take a four-year-old to a professional wrestling match, and you'll see, you know, the game plan or you know, whatever they call that stuff. Anyway, my basic notion was there's a failure of people to go into depth and detail and understand. Even the New York Times has become insipid.
Ed, you got to get to your point. Your point is what? That people don't think deeply enough when they vote?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well,
exactly. Those who come out to vote. Those few who come out to vote. So thanks.
You know, sure.
No. Keep up the good work.
All right, Ned. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. You talk a bit about voters and voting in your book, Joe Huffle. You also criticize Hillary Clinton and Democrats in general for not appealing to working class people, and they lost Pennsylvania in large part because working class people did not vote for Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. She got off target at the end of the campaign. In my view, she won the three debates. Everybody thought she was going to win. But she took her eye off the economic message in the last 3 weeks. And I remember talking to my wife and saying, you know, Hillary's ads, they're just anti-Trump, anti-Trump. They ought to be pro-job, pro-economic development. If Democrats are worth anything, it's that we're put on earth to talk about jobs. We may not have the right ideas, but that's what we talk about. And Hillary wasn't doing it. I think the people that were upset with Trump towards the end of the election, we're not going to be any more upset with him because of her negative ads about him. She lost the opportunity to make the closing argument about jobs. And I think a lot of working class voters just drifted away because Trump was talking about change. And honestly, Hillary wasn't going to change anything in Washington. Of course, neither is Trump, really. But that's another matter. And he was talking about ending economic stagnation. And she kind of gave up that message. I think that's why she lost.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, we've spent untold numbers of hours looking back at the 2016 election to try to understand that. But it is interesting, Joe, that President Trump and candidate Trump certainly talked about jobs and talked about taxes. He even said, you know, if you're rich, you're going to pay more taxes when I become president. When do you think people who voted for him, thinking that he was doing things for the working class, are going to be disappointed?
Well, I don't know that everybody is detail-oriented as some of the people that actually devised the put the legislation together, and some of the people that read it. People like you, Marty, of course, and Joe, as a former member of Congress, who are more interested in the details of legislation. For many people, they may have a more broad brush understanding of what reform means. And I give President Trump, whether you're a fan of his or a foe of his, credit for being a very effective messenger, which is to say that he constantly messages his audience, not only the people who support him, but anybody who's listening. So not just the tweets, but email messages all day long. Every day you get a bunch of messages from Donald Trump. And certainly if you hear it enough, then of course you believe it. So if you hear enough that the tax reform was signed, then you say, well, tax reform was signed and that box was checked.
But you don't know the details.
That's correct. But the box was checked. So that's what a lot of people look at. They'll say, well, how many boxes? You made these campaign promises, and how many of those boxes were checked? And you can bet your bottom dollar in 2020, for better or for worse, he's going to go back and say, I checked this box, I checked that box, I checked that.
But people are going to look at their pay stub and say, oh, I got
some people are going to be disappointed.
$10.
They're going to see that their taxes went up. They're going to feel that they didn't get what they paid for, so to speak. So there may be some disappointment.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Joe Huffman?
Oh, I think Joe hit that on the nail.
Let me see what Herb from Westchester has to say. Herb, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. I'm just a little concerned about the conversation that you're having, where you're still considering that Trump might turn around, that somehow he's going to act in the best interest of everyone. And I think he's already proven that he won't, and that all the conversation that you're having is just really normalizing this guy who's already proven that he won't be normal. And I guess the biggest thing for me is this: we're just one crisis away from a war. And I think that he just is looking for the first excuse to do something horribly drastic, and whether that's taking away all our liberties or going to war and then getting everybody behind him because of some made-up thing with Korea or Iran, I think it's just very disturbing to me, and I hate to hear you guys talk about it as if he's normal.
Well, you know what, Herb, I think you're actually, I mean, your question to Joe Watkins, because I think Joe Huffle certainly had a different perspective on the president, but Joe Watkins, go ahead.
Well, this president is unusual in many respects. I don't think we're normalizing the president. I think we're just giving I'm trying to give as best I can kind of a balanced analysis of what I see. I'm certainly not saying that I support things that I don't support, but I'm giving as best I can a balanced analysis of what I see. And I hope that you're wrong. I hear exactly what you're saying. I hope that that's not true. These are very scary times. You've got North Korea with the capacity to launch an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead. That's frightening. If they can reach the United States, that's frightening for us. If we don't get to the table and negotiate with them, negotiate an agreement so that we can have a prolonged peace, that's something that we all have to think about. It's in the best interest of all of us that happens. So I'm not unaware of some of the challenges and some of the grave challenges that we face, but I'm just giving you an analysis of kind of where we are now from a legislative standpoint.
You want to add to that, Joe Hoffel?
Well, Herb, I'm not trying to normalize Trump. I'm just trying to avoid sounding like a raving lunatic myself, because I think some moderation in our talk and approach to things is worthwhile. But I do think the president's wrong on so many fronts. And on the subject of foreign policy, I think recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital was a terrible mistake. I think that's something that everybody knows. Jerusalem will be the capital, but it needs to be a shared capital with the Palestinians in some kind of international city status that the parties in the Middle East have to negotiate. But what the president's done is taken us out of the negotiation. He's picked sides. He's pleased the Israeli right wing and pleased himself, but he's hurt the country because it's reduced our diplomatic status in the Middle East. So there's an awful lot of things he's doing I think are wrong. Well, that's what elections are for. And I think we're going to see that in 2018. I think the Republicans that are just going along, hoping to ride the crest of the wave, I think a lot of them, particularly in suburban districts, are going to be swept out of office.
And people often talk about those suburban districts around Philadelphia as kind of a bellwether. Let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation with Joe Hoffel. Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump is the name of his new book. Joe Watkins with us as well. The new PC, Practical Consideration. We have a Republican and a Democrat. They're sitting right next to each other. You can join us as Herb did. Call us at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane talking with Joe Hoffel and Joe Watkins about the state of our politics and how we, if possible, can come together. Of course, we've been talking a lot about President Trump, but there are many issues facing the country, whether domestic or foreign. And again, you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me read some comments here. One from Alan. Please have your guests address the transformation of the Republican Party to the Libertarian Party. Libertarianism, no tax, no government, no principle of the Commonwealth. Libertarianism is more of a religious ideal than an economic philosophy. I'll put that to you, Joe Watkins, in a second. Let me read from Simon. Is there any way the citizen can vote to reform the whole election system, like a national referendum, which break the two-party system? Can we have other systems similar, let's say, to Australia or England? Do you see the Republican Party transforming itself into a more libertarian party?
I don't know. I don't know that's what we'll see. The challenge becomes the people who are already elected and the fact that opportunism is real. There are a lot of people who are currently elected who aren't looking to go anywhere, and so they're not going to make any moves, any drastic moves. They may not even show their hand, but they'll do whatever they need to do to stay. And I talk about that in my book as part of the challenge that we face going forward, that if people saw what they call their seat as the seat of the people that they serve, and that they are just the temporary caretaker for that seat, and that they weren't there permanently, then perhaps we might see some movement and we might see a different Republican Party than we're currently seeing. But the Republican Party that I joined was the party of Lincoln. It was the party that freed the slaves. It was the party that fought for civil rights.
Does that party exist?
That party is not very visible. That seed is not very visible in today's Republican Party. And I'd like to see that be the case once again.
Joe Hoffel, looking at how you write about government, and I do remember Ronald Reagan, I don't remember the whole quote, but basically saying, government is the problem. Is that a problem for the United States in that you've got a philosophy that says the government is the problem?
I think it is. I think it hurts our democracy. I believe the Republicans have shifted over the last 30 years or so far to the right of where they were before. Their basic philosophy now, Grover Norquist is the primary spokesman for this, is to starve the beast, to cut taxes and shrink government, and then cut taxes some more and shrink government more. And Donald Trump is achieving that. He's cutting taxes, and he's not filling vacancies in the government. He's cutting a third out of the State Department budget, so he's doing his best on his own to shrink the government. And I don't see how that helps the American people. Now, there may be waste and bloat in government. Absolutely, there is. And there's corruption in all levels of government. So that does have to be fought. But I see the Republicans, I think they went too far. And I think they're too far to the right at the moment to represent the broad moderate middle. And again, I think the 2018 election may be the leveling election that swings that pendulum back toward the center.
Well, I'm thinking what Paul Ryan said, and he supported this tax plan, which is going to add $1.5 trillion, according to the experts. And then we hear him say, Joe Watkins, that now we have to deal with entitlements because they are bloating the budget. Can you have it both ways? I mean, it seems like that's a huge contradiction.
It's hard to do that. It's hard to have it both ways, I think. And this is part of the challenge that that Republicans like me face, of course, you know, when we go on television or when we talk to people in the supermarket. You know, they want to know what's going on and how can you live with yourselves if you're a Republican. And this is, of course, there's onus or burden on the part of elected officials who are currently serving. There's onus as well on the part of voters, because both can make it better. Voters, a more informed voter who actually exercises his or her right to vote in every election, including off presidential election years. In the 2014 off presidential election year election, only 43% of Americans showed up to vote. Registered voters showed up to vote. We can do so much better than that. I mean, if people are dissatisfied, if they want to be heard, if they say, you know, we're not headed in the right direction and we need to be headed somewhere else, then the best way to demonstrate that is to show up at the polls and to vote for the candidate of your choice. And I say in my book, it's great for Americans to be a part of a political party, but don't be so wedded to a political party that you can't vote for the best person when you get in the ballot booth and to move the country forward. Whoever that person, even if that person is not a member of your party.
Is that a challenge for the Democratic Party? And I'm thinking of Bernie Sanders. A lot of people that supported him did not support Hillary Clinton, did not support the Democratic Party. They saw him as offering, him being, of course, Sanders, offering something else, and maybe don't have that kind of allegiance to that particular party. They're looking for something or someone different.
Well, the challenge for the Democrats is not to demand purity on the left, not to get extreme in our ideology. Some would say that a lot of Democrats are too extreme. We have to understand that seeking consensus and compromising with ideological opponents is what is necessary to move the government forward, to actually govern. So we don't want, as Democrats, just to be worried about the politics. We have to be prepared to govern if we get a majority. And it's going to be interesting. I don't know what Robert Mueller's investigation will result in. He may exonerate Trump and say there was no collusion and no obstruction of justice. I don't know. But if there are critical conclusions, the Republicans will be judged on whether they take those conclusions seriously or whether they sweep them under the rug. And the Democrats will be judged on whether we can maintain a sense of, well, let's do what's right for the government, not just what's best for the next election. And the jury is out on both of those matters.
Who's an extreme Democrat from your perspective?
Well, I think I love Bernie Sanders. I love Elizabeth Warren. I think they're too far left to govern effectively, at least as they've presented themselves on the national stage. They're both, I think, great people. And I agree with them, but their approach seems to be,
well,
it's my
way or the
highway.
You agree with them and you see them as extreme?
Well, I see their approach to politics, not to issues. I mean, I'm a liberal and I like what they say, but I don't know that they could bring the country together. So I think their approach to politics is extreme, and you've got to be willing to reach consensus. No party's going to have 100% victory on any particular issue. People have to be able to reach the middle. That's what the voters want, and that's why the voters are so disappointed with the political class.
Mm. Anything you want to add to that, Joe?
Yeah, it takes a special kind of person to lead, and not necessarily somebody who's a great ideologue. I agree with you, Joe Huffle. It's, you know, there are people in both parties that certainly represent some ideological wing of their party, but at the end of the day, you need somebody who can. Who can bring folks together to move the country forward, and that's a rare quality. We haven't seen that too often in the past, even among presidents, but when we see it, it's something wonderful.
Let me see what Kay John from Philadelphia has to say. Kay John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I've been listening to the conversation very carefully, and I agree that America is divided at this point on so many levels, but what I don't agree with is that Republicans or Trump are entirely to blame for that. Historically, both parties have committed acts and promoted agendas which have been divisive and somewhat negative, had a negative impact on the country. And we should not play that down or ignore it, because it happened. Under the Democrats, under Obama, there was divisiveness, only was kept on the lowdown. It was kept, you know, under control, so to speak. But they did not do as much as they could have to start a dialogue and to start moving in the direction of bringing the country together. Now we have Trump, and everything is out in the open now because the Democrats have been pushing the conversation to make it so. I mean, you know, it's politics.
Well, you know what, Kay John, let me just ask you. I'm curious about something you think President Obama did that divided the country.
President Obama's, I did not say he did anything in particular to divide the country. What I said to you was that the country was already divided mm-hmm. in so many ways, but it was kept under wraps. And it's not like he did something personally or said something personally to divide the country. He just played along with the status quo.
Well, you know, I mean, he certainly tried to bring the country together. I'm looking at my two guests who are nodding at me, Joe Huffle.
Well, certainly there's blame on both parties. So the caller is totally correct about that. Both parties are failing us at the national level today. However, I do think President Obama tried every day to bring people together. He was not always successful. He was a little too aloof. Sometimes he was our professor in chief and rubbed some people the wrong way. He didn't always succeed. But I do think that he really tried to bring people together. He got frustrated with Republican obstructionism. And so he kind of cut the Republicans out and started doing a lot of executive orders. And, of course, President Trump has undone all those orders and he's doing his own executive orders. Maybe that's the normal pendulum swing in American politics. But this president is different. President Trump really wants to divide people to conquer. And he's playing only to his own base. His poll numbers show that, which is, frankly, bad news for him. Joe Watkins said earlier, though, Trump's a smart guy. He's going to read those polls and he's going to want to get reelected. Hmm. And maybe he'll change his ways, but if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's in deep political trouble.
Well, Joe Watkins, I do remember Republicans saying, and maybe this isn't so unusual, they wanted to make Obama a one-term president and you know, essentially blocked him at every move. I don't know if that's just politics and how it's played or whether there was something more
nefarious. It has been politics. I just say that going forward, we have to do much, much better than that. It can't be. We've got to hope that whoever our president is, that that person succeeds and that that person hopefully is a person of goodwill that wants to move the country forward mm-hmm. and bring people together. And the challenge for us is it's really easy to look back because there are mistakes and folks to blame, I suppose, on both sides of the aisle. But the question becomes is how do we look forward and how do we mend fences and how do we move the country in the right direction?
Well, speaking of fences, and let me go to you, Joe Huffle. This has to do with DACA. And I think we can all agree that most people in this country think that these children, now adults, should be allowed to live in this country and become citizens either now or at some point in their lives. what the president seems to be offering is, you know, some movement on DACA, but you have to let me go ahead with building the wall. Talk about compromise. Is that a compromise?
I don't think so. The wall is ridiculous. It's absurd. It's un-American. Now, we do need border security if we're going to have immigration quotas, and we do have to have those quotas. You've got to have border security. But we don't need a 40-foot high wall across the border with Mexico because it's symbolically obnoxious. It's not necessary. And it's a distraction. I mean, once again, President Trump is focusing on this. It worked for him in the campaign, so he keeps talking about it.
Right.
You know, he tweeted this morning, I was in your lobby, Marty. I tweeted, he's talking about crooked Hillary Clinton in his tweet this morning. I mean, come on.
He's obsessed.
You know, we've got to move forward, and the wall is not moving us forward.
And Joe, when he was campaigning, he said Mexico would pay for the wall. We don't hear that coming from the president anymore.
No, that's. I think everybody would agree that that's not likely to happen. In a perfect
Mexico
world,
said we're not doing that.
Mexico said we're not doing that either. I'm guessing that what's likely to happen would be some kind of enhanced border security, I agree with Joe Huffle that we need enhanced border security. That may end up being whatever the wall is being pushed as today. It may not be a physical wall as such at the end of the day, but a physical wall has been talked about, and it's of course had a huge impact on our relationship with Mexico and on the way in which we are seen to treat our people. We're supposed to be a country that welcomes people from the outside because we're a nation of immigrants, and it's been pretty tough.
We can't take Jim's call because we don't have time, but Jim, I'm going to just read your comment here calling us from Phoenixville. He says, I'm scared to death of the current administration. Republican Party has aligned itself with neo-Nazis and white supremacists. They lost my support. Do you share that, Joe Huffle?
Well, yeah. Now, some of the Republicans in Congress denounced the president for his Charlottesville commentary about white supremacists. So some Republicans spoke up, but most of them didn't. The congressional Republicans so far are enabling Trump. And unless they distance themselves, I think they're in trouble.
Let me read a bunch of comments just so people know that they were heard on Radio Times. I'm all for civility and common ground, but the middle is always a weak position. Stand up for the moderate far left. An email from Anne. Isn't the division that exists today mostly about the conflict between those who do and those who take? Those, I guess, that make and those that take. A tweet from Ken. GOP is playing chess by increasing expenses for military, reducing income by gifting to corporations and the wealthy. A text from Julie. To tell the people to do the right thing is not helpful. They think they are doing the right thing. Trump has given everyone permission to be selfish, encourages, in fact. How do we change that? You have 30 seconds.
Well, if you read my book, I tell you just how we can change that. And it begins with all of us, actually, that we have to care about each other. And I talk about the concrete ways that we can show practical consideration, that we can care about each other and move our country forward. No matter who's elected, we can move our country forward.
Your final thought, Joe?
Well, if Republicans like Joe Watkins ran for Congress, I'd vote for them. We have to find a middle ground. We have to be willing to compromise, put divisions and ideology aside and seek consensus. That's the only way you can govern. It's in the broad middle. You can't have permanent victories on the extremes. And that's, I think, what we need in this country.
Well, my thanks to both of you for coming in and joining us today in Radio Times. Joe Huffle, former U.S. congressman. He represented Pennsylvania's 13th district. He also served in the Pennsylvania legislature and Montgomery County commissioner. And he's got a new book called Fighting for the Progressive Center in the Age of Trump. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Joe Watkins, a political commentator for MSNBC, served in the Bush 1 White House. And his new book is The New PC, Practical Consideration. Joe Watkins, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
And we appreciate all those phone calls and comments to Radio Times as well. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times to find out more about the program. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trine Nuri. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you for joining us.